Good morning, church family.
Morning.
How's everyone doing?
Good.
Great to see you. Good morning to those worshiping with us at home. It's so great to be in the spirit and presence of God with you as we worship. This is falling down on me. Let's see here. All right. Are we there yet? This is really going to bother me now. Okay. Sorry, Matt. Both Matts. They're both back there today. So are we there yet? I'm sure each and every one of us have a story that you can tell about that road trip where you heard this question or asked this question repeatedly. I think of my friend who lives in Bowling Green who tells the time of taking her family to the beach, driving south on 65, and her young son started saying, "Mommy, I see the beach," but in Nashville. That was a long trip. That was a very long trip. My grandmother lives in Gulf Shores, Alabama. I know all about that stretch of road. We used to take that trip about 3 times a year. Ooh, that's a long one. The boredom, the stir craziness, the are we there yet? Luckily, my children, child and a half, are not old enough yet to ask this question. We haven't even tried to make that long of a trip. But all I do know is this whole week, I've had a Coco Melon nursery song stuck in my head. Are we there yet? Not yet. Are we there yet? Parents of toddlers will hate me now because of this, because you will also have it stuck in your head for the next several weeks. That's all I can get in my head is this Coco Melon song. So you are welcome, those young parents. So maybe it's this question that marks a long trip, or maybe it's a question that marks a really long season, one that we just did not think would last as long as it has. Are we there yet? Is this over yet? Are we seriously starting Lent again? I shared on Wednesday night at our Ash Wednesday service, some of us are still trying to process last March and last Lent, and here we go, doing it all over again. Are we there yet? These past 12 months have definitely been quite the journey. Spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and we've barely left the house. They've been a trip and a half without many points of reference, without our normal milestones or rhythms or celebrations to really mark our time. And at times, it maybe felt like you were going around in circles, stuck in the virtual world of everything, or maybe just stuck in place. Like, did you ever forget what day of the week it is? That happens to me on a pretty regular basis. But there was a study done over the summer that said the average American forgets what day of the week it is about 5 times a week. The average American, you forget during that, you know, early time of that lockdown pandemic. I think it said like 75% of the people who took that quiz, like at that day in that study, they didn't know what day it was that day as they were taking this questionnaire. And most of them had given up on sort of normal clothes, choosing loungewear instead. These normal rhythms, these normal patterns of our life, maybe it's felt like in the past season, we've been stuck or going in circles. Maybe, and this is just not, this is kind of in any season, but we tend to expect our lives to look like this, straight line, just going along, doing well toward our finish. But in reality, it's lots of challenging valleys, lots of unexpected shifts and turns. Or maybe it looks more like this. That's how I felt. Life goes more like this. The really good news is that we are not the only people to ever pass through seasons of uncertainty. We are not the only people to pass through challenging times or to feel caught up in this kind of messy confusion of life. We're not the only people to feel like that. And as a people of faith, the good news is that we can look to our tradition and to our scripture and find these stories of promise and hope that give us a way forward from other people who have experienced wilderness wanderings. You could probably name off 5 or 6 right now that pop in your head, stories from Scripture. And that's because this mess of life, this journey through uncertainty, is just another way for us to describe faith. It's just another way for us to describe the faith journey. We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is all about leaving behind what we know to step into a crazy, wild unknown so that we can find a God who can be known and who knows and loves us. That's what faith is all about, leaving behind what we know to step into a crazy, wild unknown so that we can find and pursue the God who wants to be known by us. That's the step of faith. That messy middle that I'm going to talk about, that's life. That's the journey of faith. We step out, we lose our bearings, and that's the place that we grow in trust of God. As God is leading us out of one life, our old life, and into a new life. As we become, over time, the people that God desires us to be. As a people of faith, as Christians, we know that we can grow and change over time. In fact, that's the goal. We believe that through the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit. To be a Christian is to be in this perpetual state of sort of revolution. Always moving, always growing, always becoming more and more like Christ by the grace of God. And here's the thing, we need every bit of the lessons and grace that we are experiencing in this season to help us become the people we are created to be in the next. And I'm not just talking about the last 12 months of kind of COVID season. I'm talking about in every season of our faith journey and life that we go through. We need every bit of the lessons and grace that we learn right there in order to prepare us for the season that is to come. That's the journey of faith. That's the journey of faith. So throughout this series, Are We There Yet?, I'm going to sort of talk about this faith journey. I'm going to boil it down to 3 basic parts. Okay, you have a start, you have a middle, and an end. Pretty straightforward. Okay, the start is where you are. The end is where you are going. And part 2 is how you get there. So where you are, how you get there, where you are going. Okay, we're going to break this down in kind of just the journey of faith in simple terms. And I'll be referring back to this kind of throughout the teaching series. So the start, where you are, that's where you begin in any particular season. Maybe when you first came to the faith, if you want to look at it that way. Or where you are now, as God continues to call you into a deeper relationship with love of God and with love of one another. And in each of these sort of seasons, in each of these parts of our faith journey, there's a spiritual task that we have that allows us to kind of get our bearings, right? When you feel going around in circles, lost in the wilderness, lost in the messy middle, there's a spiritual task in each part that allows us to get our bearings, okay? So this is the start. Number one, part one is where you are. The spiritual task here is honesty. Being honest with yourself about where you are and how you are doing. And so for us, as I'm inviting you into this specific Lenten discipline, which I'll get to, that's a question to ask for you right now. Where are you at the start of this Lenten season? How are you doing? How are you feeling? Take inventory on where you are. Are you feeling overwhelmed, stressed, exhausted, grateful, hopeful, encouraged? Maybe it depends on the day. Maybe it's a mix of all of the above. How are you doing? That's the question to ask at the start of this journey. It's a taking a moment to be really honest about where you are and about what you need. C.S. Lewis tells the story, you know, about sort of the state of our souls. It's like carrying around a bowl of water, and when the stresses and circumstances of life kind of knock into you, you know, what is it that spills out? In the last 12 months, what has spilled out of us at times? Has it been stress? Has it been anxiety? Has it been, where are you right now? Where are you right now? This kind of honesty takes real courage to look at ourselves in the mirror and to ask, how are we doing? And what do we need to really face our brokenness? But we must remember that what we refuse to face can never change. What we refuse to face and to acknowledge and to admit cannot be redeemed. And we'll talk about that in a couple weeks. We talk about the healing of God. All right, so that's the start, part one, where you start. I'm going to jump to the end, part three, our destination, where we are going. This is pretty obvious for us as followers of Jesus Christ. This is the kingdom of God. Where we are headed, where we are going, is in right relationship with God and with one another, in a community of fellow believers. This is a place of freedom and of new life and of peace and of justice and of perfected love. Where we are headed, where we are going, is a place of wholeness and shalom. And even as we wait for that coming kingdom now, we know and believe that we can experience parts of that here as we learn how to live together in love, as we learn how to love one another and to live in a community called church, right? That's how we get where we're going. That's the destination, in perfected love and relationship with God and one another. The spiritual task that leads us to this destination, the spiritual task for part three, is hope. It's hope for the better future that God has in store for us, but it's hope now that gives us, like we talked about, that gritty courage, that gritty resilience we need to keep fighting and to keep working toward that kingdom reality now. It's hope. That's the spiritual task for part three. So part two then is that middle, how we get there. That's the messy middle, the wilderness. That part that's all jumbled up scribbles. That's the messy middle, the wilderness. It's a place of uncertainty and of loss, of risk and danger. But that's also the place of adventure and growth. That's where we spend most of our lives, in the middle, in the wilderness, on the journey. It's a place of risk and danger. It's a place of trust and faith. It's the place of growth. That's the journey of faith. Life is the messy bits, right? That's life in the middle. So the spiritual task for this part, part two, is of course trust. That's where we spend most of our lives, and that's how we get to where we are going, to trust in God and in beloved community together. So as I said, the good news is that we have not been the only ones to travel through journeys of uncertainty before. We are not the only ones to ever walk this journey of faith. And the really good news is that the church calendar offers us an intentional season in the life of the church to really put some meaning and intentionality and structure to this messy middle. The church calendar invites us this season of Lent to really try and dig deep, to seek God's presence, to deepen our spiritual sense, so that not only is it a time of, yes, acknowledging chaos and wilderness, but that it can also be a place of real growth. It can be a real place of preparation through the unknown and even in the chaos. And so that's exactly what we're going to attempt to do this Lent together. Are we there yet? As we begin this season this morning, started on Wednesday with Ash Wednesday, it's a season of 40 days of preparation, of self-reflection, of repentance that will all lead us up to that Easter celebration. And so I want to invite you, this will be like our little mini journey together with three parts as a church for the next 7 weeks, 6 to 7 weeks. And those three parts are at the start. We started it on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. That's where we are honest with ourselves, where we are not okay. It's the reminder that we are dust and to dust we shall return. It's the reminder of our deep spiritual need of God and God's grace. It's to look around at the world and to acknowledge this world is not okay. I'm not okay. I need help. That's the task at the beginning on Ash Wednesday. I know many of you did join us on Wednesday. If you haven't had a chance to yet, teachings are online and you can go back and you can start there even this week. Be honest with ourselves, how we're doing, what we need, and the sin that we repent of, even at the beginning of this journey. So the end is pretty obvious. Where we are heading in this journey, well, it's Easter. 7 weeks later, that's the end. The destination is our Easter celebration. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, the hope and promise and new life that we have because of him. That's where we're headed. And then part two is this messy middle of Lent. Part two is this Lenten journey together that can be a time of preparation, of learning, and of growing. To say, where are we now? How are you doing? And how are we going to get to where we are going on that Easter celebration? So the way that we're going to do this as a church family, kind of in this journey, is that we are going to return to Scripture, to the old familiar stories that we know, to follow. This is the very traditional way that you approach Lent too, but it's to follow the journey of Jesus in his own season of preparation. Follow the journey of Jesus as he prepared for the cross. And follow along each of his places in his public ministry to see how Jesus invites us to those same places. We will see that Jesus stops in places along this journey of danger, places of longing, places of waiting. And in each of these places, he invites us into that same journey, to sit in that place with him, to acknowledge our own need, so that we might join with him on this journey. Yes, it is a journey that leads to a cross, including us, to take up our crosses and to follow Jesus. It is a journey that leads to death. We make no apologies for that here at the beginning. To die to ourselves and our own sinfulness. But it is also the way, the only way, that leads to resurrection. That's the end of this journey. And each week along the way is our kind of little mini Easter of our reminder, every Sunday when we gather to worship, that that's the new life we look forward to and that we claim now through the power and presence of Jesus Christ. So this morning, where we start, well, that was Ash Wednesday, but this next first stop on our journey with Jesus is actually the beginning of his journey. And we're going to meet Jesus in his journey. We're going to follow the Gospel of Matthew all along. The first place we start is at Jesus' baptism and the wilderness. And so we have a scripture reading video for you this morning, and this is going to be the first place that we stop together.
Hello, I'm David Ayersman.
And I'm Sharon Ayersman. And this is a reading from Matthew 3:13
through 4:11.
Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'"
Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Be gone, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.
Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him.
This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Hello, I am David Ayers.
Hello. Thank you, David and Sharon, for reading our scripture this morning. I know you are worshiping with us right now, and it's good to be with you. There's a very familiar passage of scripture. The public ministry of Jesus begins right here at his baptism, in which the heavens open, the Spirit like a dove descends, the voice of the Father is heard saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is the moment that confirms and announces in the telling of this story in the Gospel according to Matthew, in this narrative, this is the moment that confirms the identity of Jesus as the Son of God. And then immediately, without any hesitation, the Spirit is the one who leads Jesus directly into the wilderness for 40 days of temptation, where that very identity as the Son of God will be challenged. It's all about identity here at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, the beginning of this journey for him. And you can hear it. You can hear it in the temptation of the enemy. If you are the Son of God, then turn these stones to bread. Challenging his identity as the Son of God. What kind of God would allow his stomach to go hungry? If you are the Son of God, prove it. Jump down from this temple and the angels of God will rescue you and minister to you. Do you really trust God to protect you from harm? You can hear the challenge, the question. And then finally, that third temptation is really more just like a flat-out bribe. The enemy says, Worship me, and I will give you the power and glory over all the kingdoms of the world. As if he has that to give to begin with. It's a challenge of Jesus' trust at the outset of his ministry. Will he attempt to establish and prove and exert his power over? Or will he cling to his identity as the Son of God and trust this God? Trust God the Father as he prepares for the cross. In these temptations, he's trusting God to provide for him, to protect him from harm, to humble himself. And each time, Jesus withstands these tests of his trust. This is really important because we know this will not be the only time that his identity is questioned throughout his public ministry. And so beginning in this really sort of intense way is really important preparation for Jesus. His identity here is confirmed, and he places that, the future and the power, in God's character and trustworthiness and nowhere else. And Jesus does this by knowing who he is and whose he is. He does this by remembering his identity as the Son of God. This is who I am. Now, usually you hear this passage of scripture taught at the beginning of Lent, because one of the common disciplines that people will take on during this time is a period of fasting for 40 days. And so we're tempted to hear this passage and say, okay, Jesus was tempted just like me in every way, yet he was without sin. So if I fast, if I am tempted, all I need to do is memorize scripture and have a comeback. All I need to do is be more like Jesus and be better, and I can withstand just like Jesus. And I think when we read it that way, we come away thinking that it's on me to do better and be better. But when we read it that way, we miss the full aim of what's truly revealed here in this Gospel of Matthew. Specifically, the way that this narrative is told, that's an intentional way to parallel the same wilderness wandering of the Israelites in the Exodus narrative. 40 days Jesus spent in the desert. 40 years the Israelites spent in the desert. Jesus is tempted in every single way, the same three temptations. Each of his responses is actually a quotation from Deuteronomy, the same story in Exodus. And just as Israel emerged from that wilderness wandering, sort of ready and purified and prepared to inherit God's blessing and promise, so too will Jesus emerge from this trial, from these 40 days, purified and strengthened and prepared for his awaiting mission, for his awaiting ministry. It's a parallel. It's a time of preparation for both. But there's a huge, major difference. There's a huge difference here that we can't miss. And the difference is that Jesus went through the same trials of the Israelites, but he does so without sin. We remember the story. We went through it the beginning of last year. The Israelites question God. They doubt God's provision. They're grumbling and complaining in the wilderness. They're wandering around. God's providing them food and water and quail and the law and all the things they need, and yet they still falter. Jesus' trust in God never falters. And I love it how he acknowledges here his full humanity. He places himself among the people of God, and his responses are the same as what Moses said in the wilderness: man shall not live by bread alone. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Moses told the Israelites these things in their time of grumbling and complaining and sin. Jesus says them in retort in response to the enemy and stands firm, does not sin, and does not falter. This narrative then parallels and foreshadows then what Jesus is able to accomplish that Israel could not. At the beginning of his ministry here, Jesus will accomplish throughout his life what Israel, what we, cannot do on our own. And therefore, he's doing something completely new. He's opening up a new way for them to be in right relationship with God and with one another through Jesus Christ. If we walk away from this passage and say, I just need to be more like Jesus on my own and be better and try harder and memorize more scripture, then I won't be tempted. We will miss the amazing thing that's revealed here, is that Jesus, the Son of God, is the one who accomplishes for us what we cannot do on our own. And he's opening up a way here in the wilderness. As we meet him in the wilderness and the messy middles of our own life, he's opening up a way here for us to accomplish through Jesus Christ what we cannot accomplish on our own. It's that identity that's key here. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Love that passage from Isaiah. This is the one who will accomplish for us what we cannot accomplish on our own. This is the one, the Son of God, who can be trusted and who can be followed from where we were, from that old life, to where we are going. And how we get there is through that exercise of trust. Jesus' journey begins at his baptism. And of course, so too does ours. As our identity is confirmed as the beloved children of God, you are claimed, you are loved. That's where our journey begins, just like it does here for Jesus. And what comes next? The messy middle, the wilderness challenging, the trials, the struggles, the temptations. But what this story teaches us is that Jesus is also there in that wilderness. He's also at work there, making a way for us, with us, where there wasn't a way before. And just like in Jesus, the way that he made it through was to remember his identity, to remember who he is and whose he is, so too is that what we must do as well. Remember who you are. Remember whose you are. Remember the power of Jesus Christ at work in your life in every moment. So through this series, we're going to stop at other places along the way. This morning was the first to set it up, but to see where he starts in the place of baptism and wilderness and meets us in that place as well at the beginning of our journey. And we'll stop along the way as we lead to the cross. And so I hope you will join us and join us as a church family and to really see this as, yes, we're going to go back and revisit some of these familiar stories from the Gospel of Matthew. But if we do so with intentionality, if we do so with prayer, it can truly be a time of preparation. As we follow Jesus from that old life into the new life and the promise of Easter Sunday. Because every lesson and grace we learn in this season, in the last 12 months, can be used and redeemed to prepare us for the season that God has in store for us next. As individuals, as families, as a church, to prepare us, to show us the way, one step at a time, through trust, through surrender, through the messy middle. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for who you are and for how you show up and meet us in our deepest, darkest places and remind us that we are not alone there, that Jesus meets us in these places. And so, God, as we begin sort of this mini journey together and we look forward to and excited for Easter Sunday, you know, for some of us, excited that, hey, this year it's going to be in person, and I can't wait for that. God, we so long for so much of this past year to be redeemed. We long for that. We're anxious. We're excited to see what you have in store for us next, but we want to be ready for it. We want to process what we've been through. We want to surrender that to you. We want to find you in this part two and in this middle so that we can be prepared and encouraged for what you have in store for us next. So God, would you draw us closer to you over the course of the next 6 to 7 weeks? Would you meet with us in each of these places? Would you reveal yourself to us in new ways? That we may be prepared to celebrate the freedom and the life and the hope that you offer us on the other side. We love you, Lord, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's always great to be in worship with you. Thank you all so much for being here as we begin this journey. Where are you? Where do you begin? How are you feeling? And what are you looking forward to about the next 6 to 7 weeks as we walk this journey, as we prepare together and follow Jesus to the cross and ultimately his resurrection? There are so many ways that you can join in this journey with us as a church family. Of course, obviously starting here in the teaching series on Sunday morning, our renovation house groups will be following curriculum that will go along with this. You heard that our village women's ministry will be offering a book study. You are welcome, ladies, to partake in that. And also, we're going to have, I'll be sharing a midweek prayer time on Wednesdays on Facebook. If you want to join me there as we pray through the prayer or the Psalms of Ascents, I'm going to pick kind of six of those, and those were the sort of the Psalms along the journey for Israel as they would journey to Jerusalem. They're really beautiful, short poems, Psalms, and they can be prayers for us as we journey through each week. So maybe you've taken on your own discipline already, something that's going to deepen your love and awareness of God and your love for one another. If not, that's okay too. Maybe you'd like to join me for a time of midweek prayer each Wednesday. I'll be there on Facebook and happy to join with you in prayer. Praying for you all. It's so good to be with you. I hope you have a great week. Let's go and let's be the revolution. Amen.